It's time to spark it up with the Kennel Linguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
80% of basketball players could be smoking weed. The Santa Ana cops from that viral video last year finally being charged. Miley Cyrus's dream wedding and weed-infused vodka on the Kennel Linguists. I am your host, Alex Mandelberg. Sitting around the stone table of happiness, as always with me, is April O'Connor.
I'm working on my buzz.
Working on her buzz here because we're recording on St. Patrick's Day with our guest this week, the very lovely, very awesome Davina Joy. And the crowd goes crazy. How you doing?
Hi, how are you guys?
Oh, we're doing all right, you know. Woo! Just relaxing, enjoying a few drinks on this here St. Patty's Day. April is just, she's in full Irish mode right now.
What?
It's amazing. You're like Irish hippie mode. It's fucking cool. I love it.
No.
You come over here, you're like, give me a beer and a whiskey, and I'm going to sit here and drink it while I eat like something that has no gluten in it. I'm like, you're drinking a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
It was vegan. Yeah, I am.
You're drinking a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Well, there's no Guinness.
Eating vegan stuff.
But there's Jameson. So.
I did not pick up Guinness for today, but I do have Jameson.
You have Jameson, so you're winning.
So you forgive me finally, because there was a week you came here to record. There was no Jameson, and the show almost ended. Oh, April was almost like, this show is, we're done. I'm
She's
fucking
Irish.
Done with you. We'll never, I'm never going to do another episode with
Very
you again.
True to her roots.
It was our 50th episode.
Oh,
and he didn't have
to celebrate. Yeah, there's absolutely no excuse to not have whiskey on 50.
Yeah, we had whiskey.
We did have whiskey.
Drink.
We just didn't have Jameson.
I made a stink. I did, but it was more just exaggeration.
She was very upset because she had to have Jim Beam that night. It was very upsetting.
I get it. I like J-Mo.
Everyone loves J-Mo. It's the best.
But I like Bullet. I can't bullet burb.
That's a rye though. That's a rye bourbon. That's God. That's that stuff that puts hair on your chest.
Is that what it started happening? Does it also put hair on your chins? Because as a woman, I shouldn't be plucking this intensely.
Yeah, no.
Spike.
Dude, when you drink that bourbon, I remember growing up and I always thought bourbon and whiskey is like, that's the same fucking thing. Bourbon, right. Whiskey. When I was still naive to think like, oh, scotch is whiskey. And then when I finally got older and I realized, I'm like, oh, no, there's a very big difference between scotch, whiskey, and bourbon.
I thought there's a difference between bourbon and rye as well.
Yeah.
Right. So Bullet bourbon. Bullet has a bourbon.
Yes. And they also have a rye whiskey.
Right. I like the bourbon.
You like the most hair on your chest option possible.
Okay.
It's like burning fire. It is like burning fire going down. I love the stuff, but yeah. I'll admit, I go, that's that man shit. When I first started smoking cigarettes, I smoked Camel Reds and then I smoked Marlboro Red 100s. And I had a buddy who I worked with who still to this day, he still smokes, I don't, but he smoked like American Spirits. Mm-hmm. And every time he'd see me go outside with my Marlboro Red 100, he'd be like, oh, you smoking them man cigarettes, aren't you? You smoking them man Hey, can I get one of your man cigarettes? I want one of them man
Those
things right now.
Those are hard. Because
you
hard.
Feel them in your chest, ugh, man.
Lucky it strikes. Makes me nauseous.
Oh, Lucky I smoked Lucky Strikes unfiltered for a little bit because I went through my hipster phase.
Punk rock?
I did. I didn't roll them up in my sleeve. I wasn't that big a douche.
Nah.
I did love anything that came in a soft pack, though. Soft packs just felt so much cooler to me because you could like just grab it and like pop it up and throw it in. I shouldn't be talking about how much I loved smoking since I'm done with it now.
No, but it's so much better without it.
There's something romantic about just having that
cigarette. And cue him sucking on his vape.
You know,
your mouth,
listen.
Your mouth fedora.
I don't...
That was the best thing I've ever heard of it called.
This
mouth
thing,
fedora.
This thing has kept me not buying cigarettes.
Douche flute.
This thing has kept me not buying cigarettes for 2 years. So you can call it what you want to call it, but what I know is I have not bought a pack of cigarettes in 2 years, and I would not have been able to do that.
But how
without
much have
this.
You paid for those fucking things?
I've actually done the math. I've saved about $2,500. A year. It was some ridiculous number. Because a pack of cigarettes is $5. A bottle of fluid is 20. But a bottle of fluid is equal to about a carton of cigarettes.
Oh, well, that makes a big difference.
That makes a very big difference.
So is that, does it have nicotine in it?
Still? Yes, this okay. one that I smoke has nicotine in it. I apparently do a much higher level of nicotine than most people do. I do the medium. I do 12 milligrams per part.
Mm-hmm.
Those people who you see blowing those big giant clouds everywhere, they're either doing six or zero.
Have
because
you ever
they're
tried?
Doing it.
I even vape, bro.
I don't know what you're trying to say to me, but I don't like it. I'm not a fan.
Have you ever tried to go to zero nicotine and see if like you're okay with just the flavor and like the actual?
Oh yeah,
smoke
yeah, yeah. No, no, no. I admit fully, I'm a nicotine addict.
Oh, okay.
I'm addicted to nicotine and. On the scale of things that I feel like in my life, it's okay. Like, I'm addicted to three things. I'm addicted to nicotine. Mm-hmm. I'm addicted to boobies. And I'm addicted to curse words. Okay? And
boobies over pussy. Does this happen a lot? Or like, is like it's sex? Like,
that's just, sex? I mean, yeah, I guess sex in general. But like boobies, I fucking like boobs are my favorite thing in the world. Okay. But that means like those three things, they are very pedestrian things to be
yes.
addicted to. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, I'm not going to ever try and cure myself of those addictions because they're not hurting me. Right. They've not hurt my ability to make income. They've not hurt my ability to be a normal functioning human being,
yes.
to have conversations. I've trained myself to not just stare at people's boobs when I'm talking to them. So with all of that being said, yeah, I'm not going to cure myself of a weed addiction that I know I – I was about to say that is my fourth addiction is probably weed. Mm-hmm. My fourth addiction is definitely weed. But I'm not going to cure. Once again, it's like, I'm not going to cure myself of an addiction that isn't hurting me. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love everything about it. And as long as it doesn't hurt my life, then I think.
The jury's still out on vapes. It just
the jury is not out on vapes. The jury is absolutely not out. The
what
surgeon,
are you sucking
the
on?
The Surgeon General, quite a few years ago, came out and he said, all right, here's the scale. From 0 to 100, 0 is you've never had a cigarette in your life. Mm-hmm. 100 is I smoke a pack and a half of unfiltered cigarettes a day. A vape for the person using it is a 2, and for surrounding people is a 0. That is from the Surgeon General's mouth. And then all of a sudden, all these Philip Morris companies, Marlboro, Camel, they're like, well, everyone's kind of jumping on this vape train. We should jump on too so that we don't fall behind the times. And they put out their own vape products. And the market was like, nah, you're part of that old guard. We don't fucking trust you. You were killing people. You were lying about it for years. We don't want Philip Morris in the vape world. And they pushed Philip Morris out of the vape world. And then all of a sudden there were funded stories coming out from Philip Morris about how e-fluid and how it could kill you. Well, if you were to drink an entire bottle of e-fluid, it would kill you, but you've just consumed the amount of nicotine that's in an entire carton in 30 seconds. If you drink Drano, that will kill you too. But we're allowed to have Drano in our house because if you use it properly, it's a helpful product.
Right.
So hearing those grandiose headlines that make you go, oh my God, it could kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, if you drink Drano, it'll kill you. So when used responsibly, it's completely safe.
Right.
That's the case with e-cigarettes. It does heighten your risk for pneumonia because you're putting fluid into your lungs, but that's about it. All right, we're going to move on to our actual stories that we're covering. So the first story up, 80% of basketball players, according to Jay Williams, a retired Chicago Bull. He says 80% of players use marijuana. I think he is being completely accurate here, mm-hmm. because I don't know if you guys, I don't know if you ladies remember, but do you remember a few years ago when that NBA referee scandal happened, when they were talking about NBA refs were fixing games, mm-hmm. and they were making bets on games, and they were, we found out that NBA refs were just grimy as hell.
Oh,
and when they busted these dudes, the refs, in order to kind of try and deflect things away from them, started throwing out these wild accusations. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest accusations that one of the refs famously said was, he went, man, players like, and the name that was named here was Baron Davis. He said, players like Baron Davis, I've never seen him come out after halftime not reeking of booze and weed. And they were, that was the big conversation, was talking about how these players would be coming out from halftime, halftime, not beginning of the game, halftime, like they smoked up or drank up at halftime. We're going, they reeked of booze and weed. Now, the booze, that one's a little bit confusing, because basketball involves a fuck ton of running, right. a fuck ton of – I personally think it needs the highest level of athleticism for the professional sports, I think, is for basketball.
Unless you're, like, caught up, like Lamar Odom or something.
Yeah.
Where you're on a tear all the time. There's people like that.
I guess. Is that,
I wouldn't,
well, that
say
was,
all of them, but
– Yeah, sure. Well, guys like Lamar Odom, he had a lot of – he had a lot of other problems other than addiction. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of psychological problems brought on by the whole, you know, his dad was a fucking drug addict who was in and out of jail. And by no means am I supporting the Twinkie defense for that fucker who murdered Harvey Milk. But this dude did consume violent amounts of candy. Violent, violent amounts of candy. And that much sugar will fuck with your brain over a time.
Candy?
Oh, yeah. He, Lamar Odom, that was a, it was a great behind the scenes moment when they were filming some documentary on the Lakers, but they were talking about how Lamar Odom, they'd leave out gummy bears, he had to eat candy all the time. Wow. Dude ate candy 24/7.
Yeah, really? Sugar.
You know the Harvey Milk guy, though, the guy who killed Harvey Milk, the first openly gay elected official who was in San Francisco. There's a movie Milk
it's
about him Sean that Sean Penn was in. But the guy who killed him, who is another local representative, his defense attorney put forth what was ultimately coined the Twinkie defense. And they claimed that their client had eaten so much sugar and so much junk food over such a long span of time that it caused a span of temporary insanity. Now, that, of course, was not accepted. They only charged him with manslaughter. They didn't charge the guy with murder. He only served 2 years in prison. That's the part that most people do not talk about. But he then moved back to San Francisco, where he killed himself 2 years later. So dude was a bit crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's it's a little bit off the subject here. But, yeah, there's the Lamar Odom thing is different, but – I believe that 80% of players
are
smoking weed.
All I can say, I actually moved here from Arizona. When I was in Arizona and I was younger and I was in like the club scene and being out, you see a lot of the athletes. It's not necessarily just basketball players, like, but you see athletes out, and I've befriended some, and no names being said, of course, but like, I know a lot of people that party, like they do.
Yeah.
So I absolutely,
I believe every
believe
bit
it,
of that.
Yeah.
They're people. And here's the thing.
But,
they're not,
people can function on weed.
Yeah.
Like, I've smoked for so many years through like every job. Like, it's just like, if you meet people high, they don't even know that you're not.
I've made the argument on this show that weed is a performance enhancing drug. Cause I think that I played sports better when I was high. I really was better when I was high. And I'd believe, especially in a state like Arizona, where I know I've been there, there ain't much to do.
Right.
So on the weekend, fucking party it up. Why the fuck not? Especially for these, you look at these dudes who are physical specimens. They are 7 to 12% body fat if they're a chunky one. And I guess people don't get that this, like, a dude like Larry Fitzgerald plays for the Arizona Cardinals. I'm sure Larry Fitz could put down a six pack and drive a car and blow under .08. Because when you
that
are
fast,
that,
yeah.
when your metabolism is that rock hard.
There's no body fat for the THC to be held into.
Yeah, to be held onto.
That's what does it. Yeah.
It needs fat in the body.
That's why if you take niacin and it's a fat burner, like that helps to like clear your system out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And not to mention the fact that you go, these dudes are working out 6 times a week, mm-hmm. 5 times a week if it's during the season. What do you think is staying in their system for some extended period of time? Anything that they smoke is sweat out within that week.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out the pores, coming out the every fucking thing. These guys are beasts. So I wouldn't, especially a sport like basketball, where you go all the running back and forth, the amount that you really want to put your brain in that autopilot, I call it the if-then mode. You know, your brain just gets in a mode when you get high and you're exerting yourself. Mm-hmm. Your brain will find this place where it goes, all right, I'm just a series of ifs and thens. If this happens, then I'll do that, and that's all we're covering. And that's a really good place to be for a basketball game.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a wonderful place to be as a player.
Have you ever played on Percocet?
No, that's terrible. Exactly. Oh, God, that's awful.
That's why weed is better.
I've played sports on painkillers, like the opiate painkillers, mm-hmm. and I've told people so often, I go, the strongest thing I'll take before a game is ibuprofen. Because mm-hmm. the last time I took an opiate and played a game, I seriously, seriously tore a ligament in my ankle.
Oh, no.
And I didn't know.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I played. I could have.
Feel that. Why are we so empathetic,
I seriously, I injured myself very badly, and I didn't know until an hour and a half after the game when the drugs started wearing off, and I looked down and my ankle has swollen up, and I'm like, oh no. And all of a sudden, I couldn't walk. Playing sports on opiates is a bad idea. I do not suggest it to anybody. There's some rugby dudes I know who are in their 40s and they're like, yeah, I'll pop 2 Vicodin right before the game. Like, that's fucking terrifying.
That's
to me.
That's insane to me.
That's the scariest thing in the world to me.
Jay, he was a second round draft pick, and he said that he was addicted for 5+ years to OxyContin.
Mm.
So
I believe it.
And now he's a big advocate for cannabis because he's like, I just use oil. It helps, you know, helps with inflammation and it helps with some of my anxiety. He uses it topically and internally.
And that's the thing about weed. You don't have to smoke it. You can get CBD oil. You can get CBD with THC. It depends on what you need. Like, they can be used in like so many ways.
Completely related to basketball. I have a good friend. His son plays basketball, and he just grew 6 inches this year.
Wow.
The kid shot up so fast that he started having holes like and splinters in his bones because they were growing too fast. We did a report here where we found out that CBD helps strengthen bones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He went out and got a CBD honey for his boy from the honey pot.
Aww.
And it's been helping his son. Now, that's the thing. His son is not getting high.
Right. Yeah.
But his son is strengthening his bones and helping himself with a completely homeopathic remedy.
Absolutely.
That is right up what you're talking about. It can be
so frustrating. But you know what? It's not like, look how far we've come. Like, we are on a podcast getting to talk about weed, like, open and freely and smoke, and it doesn't, like, none of this shit fucking matters. Like, it's amazing that I can have a medical card that can show that this is helping me for a reason. When I'm feeling anxiety, that if I can take a if I can take
you started
hit,
bringing it up, and April's
smoking.
Like, speaking of smoking, I'm gonna grab the bong right now and just hit this.
But yeah, it's just amazing. Right, so we've come so far that it's like, the end result, there's never going to be an end because we're always going to want
more. Remember
hopefully
when
there'll be something.
Do you remember when you had a dealer?
Oh, absolute. I honestly take credit for how everything is because that's how crazy and narcissistic I am as a human being and my Pisces Virgo-ness. But like, as a kid, I mean, I started young. I always knew, even in elementary, like, I knew that I was connected to marijuana. And I always was like, I just imagined
this program
world.
Got you into it?
Like, I just imagined this world. No, like, it's like when they would say no to, like, Coke, I'd be like, yeah, like, I don't really want to do Coke. And when it was like, say no to this, like, yeah. But like, when it was like, say no to shrooms, LSD, or weed, I was kind of like, yeah, no, I'm going to do those. Like, I'm totally down for those. And I'm going to try every single one of them. And I'm sure I'm going to love them. And I'll be part of my life. I just have that feeling. I know I'm 7. I don't care.
I will say no to marijuana when it comes to anyone walking away with it.
Yeah, like the second I find it will be in my life forever. And so I knew that I had that like connection to weed. So there was something, I don't know.
Wow, that's magical.
I love, so I've always
I was scared of it forever. So really? I got that whole, you know, the dare speech and that whole, oh, what you doing to
your mind? Well, where do you fall
in
the family, too? Do you have siblings? Like, are you
the
oldest?
Well, that was the big thing. I've told the story quite a few times here. My parents got divorced when I was 12, 13. Uh-huh. Like, older than that. I was 14, 15, excuse me.
Because.
In between 9th and 10th grade.
Because.
And the reason why, there was a few reasons. There was my dad.
Do you have siblings?
My dad might have slept around a few times, mm-hmm. but my mom told us as the children that it was because my dad smoked weed.
He's a weed addict.
And my dad still smokes weed to this day. He's an everyday smoker.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know up until that point.
As fuck. Yeah.
And my mom told us that was the reason.
Right.
So for the next 3 years, I was like, this is the worst fucking thing in the world. It broke up my family. And then the first time I smoked, I was like, oh, my God, this makes me so much happier.
Yeah, God.
My mom might be a bitch. Oh, no. Like, my mom might – no, my mom's the most lovely woman in the world. But she's not a smoker.
Are we going to get her
in here? We are. We're going to get her in here. My mom, she's nervous to come in here. She is a bit nervous
Tell
to
her
come
we
in.
Pre-record. It's okay. So
I know.
She doesn't
know.
Like it. Tough. I'm just kidding.
Well, that's the thing. Me and my mother.
Like it, nothing will change. But
me and my mother
like
have never had a conversation
happy.
About weed ever.
And I want to document that.
We've never talked about it. She doesn't know that she hasn't seen me sober in a decade.
Totally. I feel like that's how it was
listening.
With my mom.
She's not aware that as I've like the last
yeah,
five,
does she listen?
The last 5-6 years of my life, I've become increasingly more employable and have worked more and more. And over the last 6 years, I have smoked increasingly more and more weed and become more employable because of it.
Right.
And that's something I've never said to my mom. And I'm scared as fuck to say to my mom, but
employable.
I guess I'm about to be 30, so it might be time to have that fucking conversation finally.
Yeah, I don't think that you're scared. I think the problem is that the ego is so like powerful, and it just is like once you admit this to your mom and that gets all released, like it kills, and like part of your old story is gonna die and be like done. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
The ego doesn't want to like let go of that.
Well, that
so.
The hardest thing was because the part that I know that she wouldn't admit to, but I knew it was like the closest my parents were post divorce. My mom had went through breast cancer, and my dad was getting her weed while she was on chemo so she could deal with the nausea.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that was like the closest they were after the divorce. But then all of a sudden she was clean. She was,
better,
good
and
better.
She's still against
and
weed.
And then now she's like back against weed. I'm like,
oh,
you fucking bitch.
My Lord.
You bitch.
But you love her.
I love her. She's the best mom in the world. She's given me everything, but
that's
yeah.
frustrating when
that's
you're
frustrating.
Like, dude, it
like,
helped you. You are here, possibly.
I know my mom and my dad split up because they just didn't love each other anymore.
Right.
She told us it was because of weed because she didn't want to say that. That's the real truth of it. Like, I only know that now because I'm older and
I'm
more
adult.
Mature.
Yeah.
And I'm an adult. Back then, I was like, oh, fucking weed must be for the devil. It must be from the devil.
And that's what she wanted you to feel. So, like, in. It's so crazy because our parents only know what to do what they know what to do as they're going through it too. You know what I mean? I feel like we're a little bit more aware in how our actions affect our kids. Like some of the more conscious people.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit better at like letting their kid figure shit out maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
but, like,
it could be.
She didn't know that I'm sure she was going to traumatize you forever. Maybe she wanted to because she didn't want you smoking weed ever.
That might have been it. So moving on, a lot of you know about the video that went viral last year with a bunch of Santa Ana cops
fuckers.
That went into a dispensary. And now the dispensary was illegal, but they were very,
but
very.
So were the cops' actions.
So were the cops' actions. They harassed a guy in a wheelchair and they started eating edibles that may or may not have contained marijuana in them.
And, they are still, and they smashed the cameras.
They smashed the cameras that were in there. Now, they have claimed that what they ate did not have marijuana in it. Mm. But I believe that about as far as I can throw these officers, which is not very far.
Okay, look, is it far-fetched?
Because they look like they have fed well.
Is it far-fetched that a cop would go to a raid with some chocolate in his pocket? Yeah, they're piggies, okay? No. We're not surprised. It's not that far-fetched. Oh. The fact of the matter is, there's also can be bad people and thieves, and they're distributing this chocolate to other police officers. Like, that's it.
Well,
it's not like you came with a bag of Halloween candy, guys.
What doesn't get spoken about a lot when this viral video came out was that all of these officers, when they walked in, were wearing those, you know, those ski masks, those, like, Under Armour, which are not ballistic. They're not. They don't offer any protection whatsoever. They look cool as shit.
Yeah,
and that's about it.
Tough guy.
And I got a big thing about, you know, no one who's doing anything legal ever makes any motions to conceal their identity.
Exactly.
And that is a real. Now they're officers, so where they are is very well documented, but. Even to the people in there that they're like, I don't want you to know what my face looks like. There's something inherently, you know what you're doing is not right.
There was a 16-camera surveillance system. They smashed all of them.
But one.
No, there was a second hidden system with four cameras, and that's how they got him.
Yeah. They're...
And that's what I love about weed heads, because we're paranoid enough to have two systems.
One 20 that's gonna cameras in total.
Yeah, 20 cameras, four nobody
that's
knows
a smart
dick
one
about.
Right there, yeah.
You know, but for sure, like, I do not answer numbers that call that I don't know, you know. Mm-hmm. It goes to voicemail, and if you don't leave one, well, we're never going to connect.
Oh, you do that too? I answer every phone call. Every phone call that comes in.
Well, that's because you're actually getting booked on set. Once, I'm sure I should stop doing that at some point in time. Once things like change. But they'll be calling other people, I hope. And then I'm told what to do.
The video also showed him like kind of joking about kicking an amputee, like handicapped guy.
Yeah, no. Everything these officers did was deplorable. I feel like I listen. You'll never get me on the whole fuck cops in general bandwagon because
there's some good ones.
There's
people.
A lot of good ones. One of my best friends in the world is a cop, and he's a Burbank cop. He was shot on duty, protecting people at a Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God, got hit twice in the vest, went home that night. He's a tough son of a bitch.
Hell yeah.
He is the Hulk incarnate. But like, he's one of the most stand-up, amazing, I would trust him with my own life human beings.
Yeah.
That being said, I also will acknowledge that he has said some of the most terrible things that, like, I've ever heard. Like, he's also, like, a really disgusting, filthy...
Right.
Like, that's the thing. There's inherently kind of that jock boy mentality to a lot of police officers. And this is not a bad thing, necessarily. It takes that personality to be authoritarian at all?
I feel like I've said things that make people question me as a human being. But here's the thing, like, when you say something and behind it is, like, love, there's a difference. Like, maybe this is a comedian in me that's just like, you can tell, but...
that everything's a joke, kind of.
But when I know that where I'm saying it from is, like, a place of, like, trying to relieve attention or, like, joke around or whatever that may be... And somebody's laughing, if they're taking it in that wrong way, like, that's them to look at. Like, if you're laughing at this and your intention is, like, negative, like, that's your own, you know what I mean?
I definitely get what you're
saying.
But,
like, you can tell, like, you're like, he says the worst shit, but it does, when he says it, like, do you believe he believes that? Because then, that's bad.
Well, I believe he believes it, but I believe he would be fair to every human being that he pulled over and treat them exactly the same. Even if in his mind he's like, I don't fucking like you.
Right.
That's
And
the
that's
part
all that,
that
needs to happen. Like, at the end of the day, you're not going to like every energy's path that is crossed.
That's the part that I feel like gets ignored a lot in all of this, is that I go, police officers, even in the best case scenario, like my best friend, he's the best case scenario. He's still, in some ways, a terrible human being because he's my best friend. So he has to be. Because he's a human being.
Yes.
Exactly. I feel like the humanity of police officers gets forgotten, going like, they have to be flawless, and going, no, man.
The humanity of humanity is being forgotten, period. Like,
they can have fucked up thoughts.
They're only being charged with petty theft.
Yeah, that's kind of, you
know. So that's pretty lame. And they went
and they were being suspended
everything.
With pay.
They
so fact, it's like.
They face a maximum.
And vandalism.
They face a maximum of 6 months in jail. And the other officer faces a maximum of 18 months in jail. So,
and then is it real jail? Do they have police jail?
It's jail. You don't get a choice. When
will they make it out?
If a police officer is charged, they are stripped of the, I mean, they're obviously off the force.
Forever, right?
Forever. When they go into lockup, they are usually put in what's called protective custody, which I'm putting big air quotes around that. I have a bad April habit of doing things that people on a audio medium can't see.
That's
but,
all right.
There's a big air quotes around protective custody because protective custody basically means they're in solitary for their entire time.
The whole time, I thought.
They're in lockup, which they're not getting the shit beat out of them, but be in one room 23 hours a day for 6 to 18 months by yourself.
You'll go crazy.
That is a rough, rough stretch of time.
Yeah, unless you know how to meditate and leave your body.
Yeah, because that's a rough place to be. And that's really the only way they can incarcerate cops, which is why they try not to. They always talk about, oh, they'll never charge cops. Like, well, because fucking A, where are you supposed to put them in jail? They'll get fucking killed.
Yeah. No,
they're first
what.
On the list of people to get killed.
Yeah. Well, I think child molesters might actually be above cops.
Chomo.
They really hate them.
They're right. Believe it or not, I would put them right on the same level of
Jared
wanting to get fucking stabbed.
Getting footlongs all day.
Because only some of the guys in there might be brave enough to step up to a child molester. I guarantee you every guy in there was busted by a cop.
Yeah, yeah.
Only some of those guys in there have a reason to really be upset, like going, oh, my fucking niece, oh, my daughter, oh, my child. Like, only a few guys have that. Every guy in there has fuck cops.
Yeah.
Fuck them all. Every guy has that.
That's true.
And that's, you know, that's the thing is I understand we don't charge them hard enough. It's really hard to charge them harder. And also, I wish people would just see the humanity behind the fucking badge, because these are people who have they go home to wives and kids.
Friend,
they were raised.
As long as your friend's actions are never followed into the thought in that negative term, like
they never did.
You know what I mean? So it's like that's a problem when those thoughts turn into actions, or they start thinking that they can't get in trouble, that they're untouchable, that they're you know what
I
mean? I
hear more stories from him about people that he let go because like here's a perfect story before we move on. I'll tell this last story. He works in Burbank. There's a large Armenian population there. We went to Grant High School, which had a very large Armenian population. And the Armenian population in our high school were a lot of bullies. They beat up a lot of kids. And so he had a predisposed, like, these fucking people were not nice to us in high school. That being said, the story that sticks out the most in my mind was him telling me about this old Armenian guy that he pulled over who kept trying to shove hundreds of dollars into his hand to bribe him to not write him a ticket. Now, that is something that he could have ran this man into jail and made his life utter living hell for. And talk about a person that made his life growing up not very fun. But he said, this guy's old. He's from Armenia, which is a crooked-ass country. He doesn't know better. Let's let him go. He doesn't know. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's what we'll say there. Well, let's move on. So Miley Cyrus has a dream wedding And I think this is also April's dream wedding, possibly. is it your dream wedding as well?
What's she doing at this wedding, April?
I don't know about the Flaming Lips concert, but she said free weed.
She said free weed and what was it? Flaming.
The Flaming Lips.
The Flaming Lips.
Mm-hmm. I'll smoke to that.
That is
fun that, and colorful and crazy and psychedelic, which is all cool with me too,
dude. I fucking
now is it bring your own bong or is she gonna give a bong to everybody that
no
comes
the bongs
there?
Are gonna be the centerpieces on each table.
I feel no. Well,
I
no, because
every
we've talked
person
about
should have their own bong.
We've been weddings on here before, you know.
Well, this is very weird because hasn't she admitted to be like? It's weird that so didn't she admit to being polyamorous?
No, she admitted to being a pansexual.
Oh, pansexual. That's it. Okay, then never mind. Because I was going like, usually the poly people are not like fucking talking about their weddings before they have a significant other.
She's back with Liam Hemsworth.
Ah,
yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
She's back with the lesser Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
No, we've talked.
You
about-
would think like I'm sorry. Anybody can judge me all they want. As far as I'm concerned, Miley Cyrus is one of the hottest motherfuckers in the world. She's just I think between judge. Between attitude and fucking the look and the fact that I know she smokes a lot of weed and she likes being naked. I've admitted earlier to loving boobs. So a woman who's like, I like having my boobs out. I'm like, well, I fucking love you then.
I used to be a topless dancer.
Well, I fucking love you too then. But that's this. Really, you're going to go with the lesser Hemsworth? You're going to go with the Hemsworth that's not in the Avengers?
I mean, she's like, she already picked him, so at the end of the day, it's not like she can get a different Hemi. Otherwise, it's going to cause a problem.
I don't know.
I mean, the brothers are not going to break up for Cyrus Puss. Like, there's too much.
You don't think
Puss
so? I mean, you don't think Chris would step in and be like, let me show you how Thor swings the hammer here?
No, I don't. I think that.
I'm sorry. I would want Thor's Warhammer, not Liam's fucking Hemi.
But you don't know what Liam might have the biggest fucking out of all of them. Like, don't.
I think Thor has a bigger hammer. I'm just going to say it. I will never go against
Thor.
That's
the character thing.
I think it's a little inappropriate that you're discussing his privates.
Oh.
I think because.
Is it really?
I'm you're dabbling on your spectrum there. Sound like a queer over there.
No.
I'm kidding.
I am so straight. I am so secure in my math. I can talk
I'm
about.
Totally teasing
when,
you.
No, I know you are. But I'm just saying, like, I could totally talk about when a dude's fucking hot, and Chris Hemsworth is hotter than Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah.
He's fucking gorgeous. He's not as gorgeous as the guy who plays Superman. Henry Cavill, that is the greatest slice of man meat that's been in a superhero film in a long time.
You were so gay.
Dude, Henry Cavill.
And then you just got me turned on a little bit. I'm like shaking my legs over here now. Like, can you say that whole last part again? I don't know. Like, I'm going to close my eyes and you just repeat what you were just saying.
Just say all the things you were just saying.
That was really
No, dude, Chris Hemsworth is. He's good. He's really good, but no. Fucking Henry Cavill. Have you seen Man of Steel?
I'm going to go look.
Do we have to
hook?
We're going
to
pull him up.
Pull up Henry Cavill. Pull up Hemsworth brothers. There you go. Yeah, pull up the Hemsworth brothers. Okay.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, they're very handsome. They're very good looking. But do me a favor.
I mean, really, would you throw either one back?
The one with the fat nose and the weird chin and the fucking.
Would you be like,
frosted spikes? Uh-oh. No, this one over here, though, he could take my booty hole.
I mean,
Chris
they both
take
have small
hole.
Lips, and I'm a
okay,
big thing
now
with, like,
you've
I like
the
lips.
Threshold.
Yeah. Both, no, but now type in my boy Henry Cavill.
Yeah,
type
let
in my
me
boy
see
Henry
Cavill.
Oh, you don't know Cavill?
I mean, who knows?
And this is the thing. Henry,
I know DeVito.
Henry Cavill got that real proper British accent when he talks.
Oh, this one. He totally,
yeah, he does have a bit of a butt chin. He does have a bit. But that's because he's that really proper British man. Mm. I mean, look at that. Imagine that with the most proper British accent in the world. I mean, he's
make one of those bigger.
Oh God, I'm no. so glad.
But something else is getting bigger.
I mean that
my clit.
I was actually talking about Alex.
Well, his clit too.
Exactly.
Tell he got clit erections.
Tell me that that man is not near flawless. I mean, can you see a flaw? He's gorgeous.
I mean, I'd have to really, like, see his teeth. Where's he smiling? Yeah, show me the one of him smiling to the far right, please.
There we go. Look at those. Look at those. Look at those pearly whites.
He's British?
British.
He's got an accent.
That really, really proper British.
I would lose my soul for his face. I'd fuck everything out of his being into my being. And I would just like own everything about us. So hard.
Oh, God.
Fuck me running.
So as long as we've now established that Thor is hotter than his average-looking brother.
Right there. Oh, my gosh.
But Superman is hotter than both of them.
Who
as
the
long,
fuck so, is that alien ass man? Right there?
So we have gone.
So getting back to the subject. Wee. So apparently Miley might be marrying the lesser Hemsworth, and giving away free weed.
We talk about these all the time with the weed weddings.
Yeah, the weed weddings. Weed weddings.
He thought it was a waste of weed that people
I think
were
it's
using,
a waste of weed using. To use it in floral decoration. I stand by that.
There are people doing it though in the legal states.
Do you find anything beautiful about weed? Like
everything.
No. Visual. I'm talking purely visually. Purely visual.
Yeah.
About weed. Oh my God. Like when I go into the clinic, the best when I like find one, because the way I like is like light green in color, but as many like crystals as possible that you
but
can like
that's
see.
Because you know it will smoke better.
No, it's that's not just because it just makes me drool, but like it
but would
also
you just want
to
leave that on your table so people could look at it and not smoke it? But you don't want that to be not smoked.
I mean, I just always keep replenishing it. Like, what do you mean? Like, it would just always be some weed on the table that would look beautiful and people could smoke it and then there would be more weed on the table.
Open bong. It's an open bong wedding.
I mean,
an open bong wedding is kind of, that does sound kind of fun. That sounds like a good time.
She'd probably have like a table for dabs. She'll probably have a table for like, she'll probably have venues there. I bet like there'll be some.
Oh, there have to be.
Yeah. There'll be someone that rolled 4,000 blunts.
I guarantee like Spliffin is going to be like, we'll sponsor your wedding, Miley. Yeah. We'll send you 5,000 weed kits.
They could literally put so much weed and not miss a beat because they make so much money in the clinics. Like if some clinic wanted to sponsor, they could, I'm sure, absolutely do it without it being a problem.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
she's got the money. She doesn't need sponsors.
It's the weird
but
thing. It's like,
that's the weird. Yeah.
That's the weird thing is like,
she's
I really
the more
don't.
Money you have, the more shit you get for free because of like the name or
actually,
the notoriety.
I was going to say the weird thing is that I really, really want to be at Miley Cyrus's wedding because I want all the free weed. But I really, really don't want to be at Miley Cyrus's wedding because it means she's off the market. And that'll kill a part of my soul.
Aww.
A little bit. My lovely girlfriend of 8.5 years, I'm sorry, I might have to leave her for Miley. Oh, God. Miley.
But she doesn't have any boobs.
Listen, when you're a lover of boobs.
You like them all shapes.
You love them all shapes and sizes.
Know.
Like, I in my life
you
have
were
seen.
Like boobs, like you had these big boobs in your hands and your face was smushed.
Well, my girlfriend has the biggest boobs I've ever had in my life, which is wonderful. But that being said, like, I can tell you, I can count the boobs that I've seen that I've been unhappy about seeing on one finger, and it was only because I said to my buddy who works in porn, I went
South Park, that teacher who lifted and they were gremlins.
I told my roommate I said I'd never seen boobs that I've regretted seeing, and he went, because he works in porn because he works on the internet, so he's like, I'll show you a pair, and he pulled up a pair that were the real life version of Mitch Chokes on Dick's boobs from South Park.
No.
They were the real life incarnation.
Wait,
like,
show you.
Mitch showed them to me, and I looked at them, and I still saw them, and went, like, I still had to look at them for a while and go, yeah, no, those are awful. Like, and I regret seeing them, but I also kind of don't. So it's even still kind of like, they're one.
Hey, one in seven, like 600 million, whatever, up to 7 billion, whatever it would be to get to 7 billion. One bad pair that works.
Do you know how much I wish there was a part of my body that I could show to the opposite sex that 90% of the time will immediately put them in a good mood?
Oh, yeah. Like, if I had a dick, I'd be in prison because I'd show it. I'd show it to...
That's a soundbite right there.
I'd show it to... I'd show show it to everyone. Like, I just feel like,
if I had
you,
a dick, I'd be in prison.
If you guys seen this motherfucker, look at the mood he is in. Like, I'd just be all up on that shit.
Precocious little fucker, this guy
I love
is.
Him. Yeah, no, that's like my like my theme. If I had a dick, I'd be in prison. Everyone knows. Like, if I had a dick, I'd be bad with it.
Oh my god! All right, so our last subject of the day: Northern California, Humboldt, California, is putting out a distillery that is making weed-infused vodka. Now,
but it doesn't get you high.
It doesn't get you high.
So what the fuck is the point?
What the fuck is it infused with? Yeah.
Marijuana.
Like, because the taste of weed is not good.
No, the taste of weed is not really good. Not with alcohol. Here's the thing. I've had weed-infused vodka because I had a friend who infused weed into vodka. And I shared a bit of that with someone who's been on this show. I'm gonna leave them nameless for embarrassment of the story's sake. But this person is both an experienced drinker and an experienced smoker.
Yeah.
And it made them puke.
Oh, yeah.
And it just...
It doesn't sound like it would be good.
I don't... If it tastes like... weed is... It's a very earthy flavor. So much along the lines of... If you wouldn't put oregano in it,
yes,
don't put marijuana in it and expect. That's why I personally do not like marijuana chocolate. I don't like marijuana sweets because I wouldn't put earthy flavors in sweets.
I think it might be Kiva, like Irish cream chocolate bar. That's pretty decent. Like, I gotta say,
Kiva's really good.
Kiva's a good one.
I've heard a lot of people endorse Kiva and say
and
that
it's
very good.
And you don't taste the, and that's the thing for me, is that if you're not tasting it, we're good on it.
I don't mind tasting. My favorite edible product that I've ever owned, and I always keep a small bottle of it around, is the infused olive oil. Because that is the perfect thing to put it in, because there's not a damn thing that I would use olive oil on that I wouldn't use oregano on.
Yeah.
So using it to refry pasta, like yesterday's pasta.
Yeah.
Oh, you just use that to refry it.
It covers the
Oh my God.
Macaroni and cheese.
And it tastes, a little bit of macaroni and cheese, a little bit of chicken. We would make garlic bread. We would just pour a little bit of it on top and make garlic bread out of it. And it would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I just don't
wonderful.
Understand the point of this if it doesn't get you high. If it does get you both, I don't like that either, because I like to achieve one and then like add the other, or like just be more.
Yeah,
the
one is just a garnish for the other.
And I'm not a big edibles person. I get the shits.
Yeah, it's understandable. I've heard that before.
I mean, it's not, it's just not, doesn't agree. Like, I'm
it
a
tears
smoker.
Up the insides.
It just makes me hungry.
Well, I had that problem the night that I met you. The night that I met you, or the second time that we ever met, when we did the Sessions podcast together.
Yeah.
And the reason why that podcast lasted 3.5 hours is because this dude laid out these edibles that were fucking delicious. Mm-hmm. But that's all that was in front of me. So I'd eat one and I'd get high as fuck. Oh, and then I'd have the munchies and there's nothing in front of me but more weed edibles that taste delicious. So it was this fucking circle of hell.
I want something sweet, but the only thing sweet has weed in it.
Yeah, and so, like, fuck it. I guess I'm just going to get higher now.
I just take this teeny piece, but it tastes so good a little bit more.
Oh, no, that tiny piece, I ate 2 full bricks of Rice Krispie treats.
They're so good.
I was fucking high.
See, and then you'll be high for 4 days. That's not for me. That's not fun. I like the
my buddy Jim. The first time he ever made an edible, they made an entire tray of brownies, and it was him and his three friends, and they put an ounce in there like idiots, and they cut it in four. And they took one bite, and they're like, oh, it's not working. So he ate his entire quarter of the brownie and was high for 3 days.
Yeah,
he was like, he went, that was the scariest thing in the world when I went to sleep as high as I'd ever been in my life and woke up the next morning just as high as I went to sleep.
That's
a really scary moment. Where you're like, I'm going to be like this forever.
Yeah.
This is just how I am now.
It. Yeah.
That's the one thing that's almost scared me and why I've never tried acid. I still want to, one thing that has scared me is that every person who's tried acid has said there'll be one point in the middle of the trip where you go, I'm going to be like this forever.
Yeah,
like there's one point in the middle. It usually is very fleeting, but there's always a point where you go like, oh, this might be how my life is forever.
Everything is so fleeting in that. And you've done shrooms then?
No, I have done ecstasy, marijuana, and that's fucking it.
You have got to try psychedelics.
I know. I need to expand my mind.
You still haven't tried those mushrooms?
I have a bunch of mushrooms that I got from somebody that are sitting in my bedside table that I still haven't taken because I just haven't.
Well,
fucking, maybe I should just take them tonight.
Ooh. I mean, you know. You should definitely.
I was just in Ojai a couple days ago, and then on my birthday, I was in Joshua Tree.
Oh, nice, nice.
I have a friend who lives out
in that area who fucking loves.
Super advocate of everybody in the world should try both at least once in their life. I'm sorry, but they should because you should. Like, until you do it, once you do it, you'll be like, you know, like,
here, you need to read this.
What do I need to read? Shroom Fest Primer.
So Ari Shaffir, he talks about, he has this thing every year, Shroom Fest, and it's just like whatever, it's the longest day of the year, usually, whatever, like the summer solstice.
Yeah.
And then you go, and you just go out
spring
to wherever.
Solstice.
My favorite is his list of where do I get them. Step one, find your dirtiest friend. Step two, ask him for shrooms. Step 2B, pay for shrooms. That's really funny.
Step three, ask him to make a call for some shrooms. Step
so 3B, pay his dealer for shrooms. Step four, find your second dirtiest friend. Repeat these steps until you have some mushrooms.
No, but this gives you like the whole breakdown of everything that you should expect and like how much you should pay and what, you know, what they should look like. And it's just, it's good for
people. Get them from people that you know. So that step's been taken care of.
No, but that's just really funny.
For me, I feel like you can always add, you can't subtract. So if it's ever down to taking anything of that level, I would rather take less, wait for it to hit, see how I feel and add to it than sit there and take way too much and be like, I'm never going to fucking live again.
Because you buy the ticket, you're taking that ride. You got to ride it out.
Yeah, and it's not good. So sometimes it's really sad that like acid and shrooms get a bad fucking rap when really the person that took it was kind of dumb.
Well,
took too much.
What Ari did here in making this website, this Shroom Fest thing, it really is kind of God's work that there is no guide for taking drugs, and so many people there's so many first time users that get themselves in very deep trouble because they're either too shy to tell the dealer that they're buying it from that this is their first time and they want to seem cool like they've done this before, or any number of things that they don't know dosing sizes. I remember the first time I got MDMA from my buddy. Because that's one of my favorite things to do other than weed. I love that stuff. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
But he gave it to me in just plastic baggies, no gel caps. He's just like, hey, here's a bunch of it because I know you wanted it. And he gave me three baggies. And in my mind, I was like, I turned to my girlfriend. I'm like, oh, so we just take a bag, right? And she's like, no, there's a gram in that bag. That's like 10 pills. You'll fucking die.
You totally would
I
die.
Would have fucking done yeah. that. Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was ignorant.
But see, you should ask too. Like that, why wouldn't you be like, hey,
but wanting to be the cool guy, like when he handed it to me, I'm just like, oh, thank you. That's awesome. I didn't ask him.
Well, because, you know, it's a shady fucking dealer or whoever. Like, you don't want to give somebody the drug for the first time because you feel guilty. You feel like, I'm turning this person out.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he's going to be sucking dick for crying. No, I'm just kidding. But that you don't, if someone's a rookie, you don't want them to like get too fucked up and snitch on you or whatever, you know, call the cops on themselves. Just stupid shit people do.
Once again, this goes back to my whole argument on Darren, why Darren needs to go away. It's because parents need to talk to their kids about drugs so the kids can feel comfortable talking to people about drugs. They need the conversation needs to be from family, not from police officers. Have the conversation when they're curious about it, not any sooner and not any later. Have the conversations at home. All right, so that's our rabbit.
So this before it's really good. It tells you about what to expect. It tells you about they suggest you fasting before you do it and having it on an empty stomach because you might throw up.
Yeah.
And if you don't have food in your stomach, then it's also stronger feeling. And yeah.
And you're also less likely to puke, you know, because the bile won't come up. But yeah.
Right. And then just things that will help take it down, certain things you eat, all these things. So
it's a good site. Check it out. Shroomfest, Ari Shaffir.
Shroomfest Primer.
Doing the Lord's work. So Davina, you got anything to promote coming up?
I'm actually going to be at Flappers Comedy Club in the main room, in Burbank on March 24th. I believe that's 8 p.m. It's
nice.
For applause show. I'm excited about. I'm going to be in Vegas, but, I'm with the Greg Wilson headlining. I haven't gotten the details of the place.
Greg.
It will be March 25th.
I know Greg very well.
I just don't know I can't give any deets, but I always promote things on my Facebook.
I would really imagine that would be probably a Jack Slammy show. So I'm guessing you're doing Adrenaline Bar. Because I know Greg does shows with Jack Slammy. So I'm going to step out ahead of you and go, I think you're at the Adrenaline Bar.
Well, I don't know, but I will be putting it. So my Twitter is at the capital THE Davina Joy. And
Davina Joy is DAVINAJOY.
Thank you. Because
I'm a shitty speller, so I always spell it for people.
And so thank you.
Very good.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Thank you so much for coming. What do you got, April, coming up?
This is going to air when I'm very hungover from PUI.
That's right. We got PUI tomorrow night. This will air, unfortunately, after PUI. Is that all you got? Is PUI? You'll be recovering.
That's all I can think about right now. Well, I'm kind of preparing today.
May 4th through the 7th, I'm going to be in Central Washington. I finally got my dates today, so I'm booking my flights. Be up in Richland at Joker's. I know I'm going back to Reno sometime in August. I'll get those dates to you guys when I have that. I will be headlining a club in a year. But that's a year from now, so I'm going to get you guys the dates and all that stuff.
Calm down.
I just got my first road headlining, like real headlining gig, so I'm excited about it. I'm celebrating like a motherfucker.
I'm kidding.
A fuck that it's a year out. I don't care.
That's cool.
I'm doing an hour, motherfuckers. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that. But, thank you so much, Crab Diving Network. Thank you to Rafopoulos Studios. Thank you to our guest, Davina.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you to you, April, for just being my awesome co-host.
For life.
And being drunk.
We'll see y'all next week. Happy St. Paddy's Day weekend.